parables of the Bible. We're using as a textbook, number one, the Bible. Number two, Herbert Lockyer's All the Parables of the Bible. And we're talking about the way to hell, the road to hell. And we're talking about the road to heaven, pilgrims, pilgrim's progress. In this world, we're all pilgrims, we're all transients, we're all hobos. We can do all we can in this world to gain whatever we can attain in our lives, and yet, it's not ours. So many people think that, and people gather up all the money, they can gather up all the things they can gather up, and then all of a sudden, one day, they're gone. Woof! And they leave everything behind. There is nothing they're going to take with them. What you do in this world, there's only two ways to go. The narrow way and the broad way. And we're going to look at that right now. The road to hell, the way to hell. What do you have to do to go to hell? Nothing. You don't have to do anything to go to hell. Let's see. And it's easy. It's easier to go to hell than it is to go to heaven. It's easier to go to hell than it is to heaven. Seventh chapter and verse 13. These are Jesus' words, by the way. See, they're written in red. In many of your Bibles, what we call the red letter Bibles. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to hell. Destruction. Just absolute destruction. Unloosing. And many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And few are those who find it. Few are those who find it. Let's read that one more time. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide. Enter by the narrow gate, for the main gate is very wide. The gate of the Adamic nature of mankind is wide. There are no rules there. No rules. It's all how you feel and what you want in this world. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to hell. It's easier to go to hell than it is to go to heaven. And many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, miniature. And the way is extremely narrow that leads to life. And few are those who find it. Now let's go to Herbert Lockyer's All the Parables of the Bible. The parable of the two ways. Two ways. Two pathways. Pilgrims. We're all pilgrims in this world. We're all pilgrims. In his ethical teaching, our Lord comes to the realm of application, illustrates the two opposite ways of life's pilgrimage by the use of gates and roads. Now, in the Indian culture that I was raised in, there was what you call the red road. And to lead to eternal life and to the what we call the blessings of God, Wonkan Tonka, that's God the Father, Tonka Shila, that's the Son, and Wakan or Skontu, Saku, Skontaku, Skonskon is the Holy Spirit. Now if you want the blessings of these, Creator, our Creator, then you must walk on the narrow pathway, which is the red road. Many people fall off the red road, the people used to say, the grandfathers used to say, they fall off the red road, but the road is there. Now, if you read Pilgrim's Progress with me, as I brought to you from this little multi-purpose room here in Fish Lake Valley, you know about the disasters that you meet on the roads, the wide one and the narrow one, and how sometimes we can get and fall off of that road down into canyons and gullies and dangerous precipices. Mm-hmm. The Pilgrim, by the use of gates and roads, with a figurative teaching of chapter before us, we come to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. By the way, the Sermon on the Mount are the ethics of the kingdom of God, not the world. That's the ethics of the kingdom of God. Don't try to treat the world and deal with the world like Matthew 5 through 7 says. You will be really picked clean. That's all I can say. And to its effect on all those who face it, the response to its teaching is seen in the two opposite classes where herein described by Christ. The two classes of people. There's only two classes. Aren't three, aren't four. All roads lead to heaven. Have you ever heard that? All roads lead to hell except the narrow pathway. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him on that narrow pathway. The many refusing each ethical teaching and consequently bent upon following the path of ease, self-indulgence, and the few accepting the truth, seeking eternal safety above everything else, whatever the cost is in this world and time and space. The solemn truth unfolded before us is that there are only two ways for humanity to choose. Jesus or hell. It's only it. Not Muhammad. Not the Pope. It's not Mormonism, Joseph Smith. It is not Charles Taze Russell, Jehovah's Witnesses. There's only one pathway to God, and the other, even in the religions, all go one way. It's the wide pathway. The way of the righteous, the way of the ungodly, Psalm 1. The worldly, or the world may think that there are three kinds of people, good, bad, and neutral. Good, bad, and neutral. Just okay guy, okay woman. But the Bible knows only of two kinds of sinners. Saved sinners and lost sinners. We are either black or white. There is no gray. There is no debatable no man's land. There is no no man's land. All religions lead to hell. All roads go to heaven. All religions, that is, lead to heaven, they say, but only one truth in Jesus Christ, our Savior, leads to heaven. We are either in Christ or without Christ. How do you get in Christ? You come to the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart broken because of who you are. My wife sometimes castigates me because I am too humble, she says. I had one man tell me I had no humility. Then when he realized who I was later on, he said, "Boy, you really are humble. I didn't know who you were." I don't try to be humble. I look in the mirror of God's Word, and I see who I am. And there's nothing great there. There's nothing great there. I'm saved by the same grace you are. And the dimensions of the grace of God are wide. Sometimes. But the pathway is narrow. We're either in Christ or without Christ, travelers to heaven or to hell. The wide road to hell and the narrow road to heaven. And the blessed truth of Scripture is that the Lord knows them that are His. You hear this little popping here? That's the stove cooking our dinner. Familiar as he would be with the gates of the nearby city set on a hill, Christ uses the figure with great effect. There was the white, wide gate, and the entrance to the two ways is called straight. Now, let me tell you something about the gates in the biblical times. There was a big gate in the city also, and there was a little gate. After hours and dark time, you could get into the little gate, but you had to crawl through that little narrow way. Because they wouldn't open the big gate because an army could come in there, or some type of marauders or convicts or criminals or murderers. So you had to go in the little gate only, the narrow gate. So Jesus is talking about this. Luke 13:24-27. Scripture notes the reasons for the entrance in Deuteronomy 30:15, 1 Kings 18:21, and 2 Peter 2:2-5. Wide alludes to the careless, sinful way of life of the wicked, intimating that it is easier to be revengeful and covetous, to take advantage of another to enrich self rather than walk according to the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I had an opportunity one time to be in management with a company. And my motto there was to tell the truth to the customers, be honest and fair with them. The company had some bad customers sometimes. And the bad customers would want something done right now, but they wouldn't pay for the bills. And then they would shove off that debt onto the good customers, which were paying more than what they really owed. I said, I'm not going to do that. Well, how are we going to recover this? It turned me loose on the bad customers. I called them over there. I said, do you ever want anything done here again? What are you talking about? I said, do you ever want us to do any work for you again? I said, you owe $10,000 on the bill. And we're going to charge somebody else for that $10,000 before we ever work on one more piece of equipment for you. You will pay your bill. Why? Let me talk to the boss. I said, I am the boss. I said, I am the collector of bad debts. And when I dealt with the new people, I told them, I didn't try to get them in there and get their equipment torn up so they couldn't take it someplace else. I told them either I could fix it right now or I couldn't do it later. And they said, don't do it. This is not the way you do business. I said, people would come to that company and they wanted to see me, nobody else. Because I was going to tell them the truth. Because it's easier to just tell the truth than it is to lie to them and then try to cover it up later. It works better that way. And that's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Would you like to take any of your equipment in someplace? And then they'll tell you they can have it in 3 hours and not get it for 3 weeks? And it said it might cost you $500 and cost you $5,000 instead? I'll take the right way every time. People depended on me because I told them the truth. Because it's easier just to tell the truth and to deal with people and to charge them for what they do. They will come back. It worked. It worked. They didn't like it, but it worked. The name of the wide gate is self. One's own desires, proud thoughts, our own righteousness, our own chosen and darling sins, our own plan and will being wide, this gate is easily entered. You could go through that thing sideways with a whole herd of wild horses. The other gate is called narrow, straight, difficult, being hardly wide enough to admit one at all. This description of the entrance and the gate indicate the difficulty of the first right step toward God. You have to realize who you are and who God is. He's righteous, people. God is righteous and holy, and he owes us nothing. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might have life. The world is already judged. The road to hell is wide and expanding all the time through false religion and everything you can think of. You can feel religious and go to church, but there's a difference between salvation and religion. Billy Graham said one time that he He believed that not over 10 or 20% of Southern Baptists were saved that were going to church, because they hadn't been born again. Because born again people are different. They're different. They're walking a different road. Our churches today are very user friendly. The gospel is cheapened. I still give an invitation. And I ask sinners to call out for forgiveness, and God, that God will grant them repentance and grace and faith. The dimensions of grace is absolutely beautiful. I don't care what you've done in this world. You can be born again, and you can have new life, and you can have happiness following Jesus. If you choose to sin, you choose to suffer. If you choose the broad way, you're on the road to hell. One must triumph for all natural inclinations. Repentant sinners must strive to enter the narrow gate. Luke 13:24. If the name over the wide gate is self, you might put ease up there also. You might put up there convenient. Easy. It's easy to go to hell, people. It's easy to go to hell. That's the title of my message tonight. It's easy to go to hell. You don't have to do anything. The one over the straight gate is Christ and Him only. Jesus of the Bible. Not Jesus of Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormonism or the Muslim world. They're Jesus and not Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of our Bible was God, Jehovah of the Old Testament, that became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, the one being in the bosom of the Father, inseparable from the Father, that one has led Himself out of eternity into space and time for you. Christ trusted to the neglect and humiliation and crucifixion of self. Paul did the same thing, didn't he? Paul was a proud religious man. But in the end, he humbled himself before that Jesus he was persecuting. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Jim, Jim, why do you persecute me? Marilyn, Marilyn, why do you persecute me? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom we crucified. Christ sought with repentance and godly sorrow. Christ followed at a hazard, any hazard, to any martyrdom, no honor, no friend but Christ. The straight gate alludes to the strict observance of the golden rule previously enunciated by our Lord in 7 and verse 12. Do unto others as you would have do unto you. The two ways, the nature of the ways corresponds to the gates. Entering gate is a matter of conscientiousness, freedom, and choice, and thereafter life and hereafter is fashioned by such a choice. God made man in His sovereign image. God said, let us make man in our shadow casting likeness, spiritual likeness, in our blood flowing likeness, and in our sovereign likeness. Let him have dominion over himself and over all that I have given him. How solemn a thought it is that our destiny depends upon, not upon fate, not upon total election, but upon personal choice. The wide gate leads to the broad way. The way to hell is easy. The way to hell is easy. On such a way, there is plenty of room for the sinner and his sins. This way recommends itself to the majority of people because of the ease and the naturalness which is so trodden and plentiful country of company of travelers that go with you and that are found upon the gate and the way. But this apparently primrose path tends over downward. The world's ease and comfort and good-natured carelessness are in that wide road. The straight gate leads to a narrow way, leading, as it were, through a gorge between precipice rocks which nearly meet, haunted by dangers, enemies, and chosen by comparatively few. The narrow gate and the straitened way prohibit the breath of license. You don't have a license. You have no more license for the flesh. Paul said, give no room for the flesh. Give no room for the devil. Don't give the devil a foothold. Many things have to be left outside the narrow gate, yet though we must walk accordingly to the straightness of God's law, the way leads to a glorious breath of life. As we walk along this path, we find it widening and broadening and expanding with new breath and views of glory of God. When you see Jesus, you're going to see hope. You're going to see love. You're going to see a richer life than what you ever had before. When you get saved, all your troubles are not over. People tell you that all the time. They're lying to you. They're lying. When you get saved, your troubles just begin. The road becomes narrower. The road to hell is easy. The road to heaven is narrow. Another aspect of the phase of Christ's parabolic teaching and illustration is that he himself is the way over which we must travel in John 14 and 6. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me and my narrow way. As well as the gate through which we enter in John 10 and 7. He is the gate. He is the shepherd. John, the 10th chapter, and Psalm 23 are the same story. The Lord my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I am the door. Through him and in him is obtainable holiness and eternal life. You know, the grace of God is wonderful. But a child of God, many children of God think that they have a license to sin just because they've been born again, they say. But when you're born again, when you sin, you're not comfortable. You're not comfortable. You're not going to be happy because you're not your own. Two companies, two congregations. What an impressive difference there is between the numbers on their respective ways. Through the wide gate, onto the broad way, the road to hell, the easy road to hell. A life permitting the indulgence and preferences and self, leaving self-will free and requiring neither surrender nor sacrifice, allures more followers than the narrow way of full abandonment to the claims of Christ. Back over here yonder. Way over here yonder in church history, the Catholic Church invented a doctrine, a dogma. And it's called indulgences. And if you paid or did something so special, give a lot of money, you could get one of Jesus' diapers or a splinter from his cross. And this is what you call plenary indulgences. Plenary means everything. The soldiers that went on the war for the Pope, they could rape and pillage and rob and steal, and they were all forgiven of their malefactor ways. Didn't work. All those guys are in hell. They're already there. In Hades, that is. More followers are led by the broad way than the narrow way. The tragic fact is that there are millions upon millions more people serving the devil than the Savior who died for them. Jesus Christ died for all man's sins, period. Even Charles Manson did this kick the bucket over there in Bakersfield. He died for all man's sins. No man goes to hell because of sin. They go to hell because of rejecting Jesus Christ. But when you follow and when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, there is a narrow way. It's a narrow way. We always try by the flesh to broaden that way. The pilgrim on the broad way never lacks for suitable company. Reversely, on the narrow way, there are few pilgrims, few there be that find it. A life of separation from sin unto God is not a popular one. And I'm going to tell you something. Separation from sin, we wallow in it, even those that are trying to follow the Lord. We are stained with it. But when Jesus looks upon us through his blood, he sees Jesus. This is a hard doctrine to swallow sometimes and to understand. The narrow way, the way of life, and the way, the broad way to hell. The broad way to hell is the easier way. And Jesus paid the way for all. A life of separation from sin and unto God is not a popular path. The tablet of Cebes, the disciple of Socrates, see you not a small door, and a pathway before the door is no way crowded, but few and very few go into thereat. This is the way that leads us to true disciple discipline. The contrast between the many and the few runs through all of our Lord's teachings. He comes to save the world, and yet those who he chooses out of the world are but as a little flock. Well, if there were a few pilgrims on the road leading to the city of destruction, to the celestial city, those on this unpopular way have the very best of company in him who said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." With him as our fellow traveler, we are three times blessed. Although the one gate is narrow, yet it is wide enough for all those who choose to enter therein. Few, however, find the gate with its pillars, repentance and faith. Now, repentance comes from God and faith comes from God. Ask him to give you that. For in grace ye are having been saved through faith, and that not out of you. It is a gift of God, a lot of works, lest any man should boast. I want you to separate Christianity from works. Christianity is a lifestyle because you are different. I can sin just the same as anybody else in the world, but I will not be comfortable doing that. And God will thump me here and thump me there because I'm his. If you're not his, you can do whatever you want to. That wide road to hell is the easy way. The road to hell is easy. The majority may complain of the straitness of the way of surrender and service, but if the gate is at the outset were wider than the gate at the end, it would only permit delusion and prevent true salvation. Religious delusion. The Pope can't forgive you, neither can a priest. Muhammad can't be your intercessor. It's only Jesus. It is not the breadth of the gate, the way fixed by the necessity of things. What the majority of sinners must learn is what that they without repentance and regeneration bliss here and hereafter is impossible. Further, they wait in vain if they expect the straight gate to get wider. Life is not going to get easier for a child of God. Not going to happen. Broad is the way that leads to death, and thousands walk together. But wisdom shows a narrow path, and here and there a traveler. There are two destinies. Our Lord makes it clear, while we are all travelers to eternity, we're all pilgrims, there are two ends of stopping places. Probably the most solemn statement in the world has ever heard since its creation, yet one of the vast majority allowed to pass unheeded is, broad is the way that leads unto hell and destruction. Destruction. What does this terrible word mean? Certainly it does not represent annihilation or cessation of existence, as the Seventh-day Adventists will tell you and the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't want no, they don't want to believe that there is a hell. Just go out of existence. You just don't get resurrected. You just go on and sleep forever in soul sleeping. Nope. That's not the way it's done. For whether saved or lost, we are to live on forever. Actually, the word waste, or loss of all that is precious to existence. For the sinner choosing the broad gate in the way, who dies in his sin, there is the death of peace and expectancy. Once at the end of the broad way and in a lost eternity, the sinner's position is irrevocable, irretraceable. That man in Luke the 16th chapter was a real person that was in Hades. He knew why he was there. You're not going to argue with God when you go to Hades. You're not going to argue with God when you go to hell, because you will know that you should be there. The sinner's position is irretrievable, irrevocable. The word destruction literally means narrowing, limitation, confinement, imprisonment, until everything is brought to an end under crushing pressure. Know his way. Christ's warning word for him is destruction. The way of the world is the way of destruction. But for those who accept the despised, narrow way, what a blessed end awaits them, life eternal, and all its glorious fullness, a life without sin and sorrow, and a life in the paradise of life. Life in the presence of God and Christ for all eternity. Although few find this way of life, and few are found on it, I hope through this message today, through God's word, that you will, if you are not born again, if you are not saved, you may be religious, but that's not enough, people. You must repent of your sins and call upon God to save your soul, and by grace he will. The grace of God is immense. The dimensions are unbelievable, broad in forgiveness. If you are out there without Christ, ask him into your life. Beg him for mercy. And ask him to forgive you of your sins and leave them behind. You can't just lay them down for a little while. They're there at his feet. By grace, you will live and walk that narrow pathway. By grace. Not of your own. It is a gift of God. If you're out there and lost without Christ, ask him to save your soul. Ask him to inhabit you. Ask him to give you the grace to live day by day and to walk that narrow path. Our Father, we send this message out, and I thank you for it from your word. I apply it to my life with your grace. And Father, thank you for all the blessings you give us. Thank you for the forgiveness and the wide dimensions of your grace in our lives. Father, forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.